Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're recording from the Minnesota State Fair on Military Appreciation Day, and we'll talk to our friends from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on a variety of topics. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
Each year, more than 41,000 people die by suicide. September is National Suicide Prevention Awareness Month, a time to share experiences and resources on this difficult and often stigmatized topic. In the Minnesota National Guard, preparedness is how we stand ready to help our soldiers and airmen when they are struggling. Be there to listen when someone tells you what's happening in their life. Let them know you're there and that you care about them. If someone tells you they are having suicidal thoughts, be prepared to stay with them and help them through it. If you are in crisis or experiencing difficult or suicidal thoughts, call the National Suicide Hotline at 1-800-273-8255 or text NAMI to 741-741. Together, we can raise awareness and get help for those struggling with mental health and suicidal thoughts.
General Jensen, for more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining us today from the fair, we're recording from Military Appreciation Day at the Minnesota State Fair, and we're going to join us right now is Commissioner Larry Herkey from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Commissioner Herkey was appointed as the 18th Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs in January 2019. As Commissioner, he's charged with assisting the state's 327,000 veterans and their families. And for over 30 years, Commissioner Herkey had the opportunity to serve the nation and the state as a member of the United States Army, Minnesota National Guard. Commissioner, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Tom, it's great to be here with you here at the fair.
Commissioner, this is your first year in office where you've had a chance to come out to Military Appreciation Day at the State Fair. There was a big event this morning up at the Liney Lodge. All kinds of folks up there. This is a pretty exciting day.
Yeah, it was like old home week up there. A lot of Red Bulls that I deployed with and served with over the years. It was great to be there and be there with the band and, of course, the governor and the rest of the people up on the stage.
And Commissioner, we've had you on the show a few times, but now you've been commissioner for a good portion of a year. How's it going?
I got my feet wet since I seen you last time. It's been a whirlwind of learning new medical terms and understanding, you know, how veterans' homes operate and how cemeteries operate, and just to understand our both our programs and services and how those are going. It's been a great experience, and I've learned a lot.
And Commissioner, you've got a lot of great staff over at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Been there, some of them, a long time.
Some of them been there for quite a while, and I think they all are focused on the mission of helping the veterans and their families. And I very much appreciate everyone, especially when I go to the homes. I can tell you we have some of the most highly sought-after people that are there as healthcare workers, and they do a great job for our veterans in those homes.
Commissioner, I can't help but think Commissioner Shalito was there before, and you took over for him. And of course, it's just like those years you were in the military. If you're the commander of a unit, you stay there for a few years, and then you move on, and somebody else moves in. And it's kind of like a change of command, and let's find out who's here and what they're doing and what the project is, and let's go.
Yes, it's great coming into an organization you never worked in before and being able to see it with fresh eyes and be able to ask all those critical questions.
And Commissioner, I understand that one of the priorities that the governor has given you is to eliminate veterans homelessness.
Yes, we've been spending a lot of time in that, and that's probably one of the things I'm most proud of here at this point. We've done just recently, we've come to a point where we actually have more people with HUD bash vouchers than we have locations to place those veterans. So we actually did a landlord summit. That landlord summit brought about 50 to 60 landlords together, and we're trying to find places to put all these veterans. We're at about 241 veterans that are on a registry, and we'd like to find homes for those veterans.
And Commissioner, you've got a lot of great partners, MACV, the Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans. The Minneapolis VA helps with that. There's stand downs all over the state. There's a lot of partnerships here in Minnesota to work on that issue.
Yeah, so we work with those folks, and we also work with the public housing authorities in the areas. We work with the continuums of care for our COCs for each one of the areas. So it seems like there's a large group coming together here to help out. I see my role as sort of a quarterback and trying to get the bring all the things together and to be able to be successful in finding homes for the permanent homes for these 241 veterans.
And Commissioner, I keep hearing the term functional zero. Get our veterans almost the functional zero. You never quite get done because there's new ones.
Yeah, that's true. We have about 22 new veterans each month that we actually bring in to the process. And in order to be successful, you have to plan beyond just the number that you have on hand. What we're looking for is to make sure that if people do get homeless, that it's rare, brief, and it's one time. Those are the things we're looking for. So we're setting in place the right preventative process to make that happen.
And housing, as you mentioned, is a big part of what you need.
It's a big part. I'm looking for one-bedroom apartments, especially in the Twin Cities areas, Ramsey and Hennepin County, and the surrounding metro area are the biggest demands for housing. So if you're a landlord out there and if you've got some housing, please give us a call.
So if we can get them off the streets, get them into some housing, help them with whatever legal or marital or health issues they might have, get them a job, get them on the way back.
That's the intent, is to get them into stable housing that's permanent and they feel safe and they can become a productive member of society.
And Commissioner, I understand in your first year as Commissioner, the state legislature did a real good job on approving your budget.
Yes, we were successful, and I want to thank the legislature actually for coming in. I came in with what I thought was a well-focused and conservative request for some funding, a little bit of operational funding from my programs and services area, but probably most importantly is a plus up in my core program, which is the one that helps families through the Lutheran Social Services, to both families and veterans, to if they have a problem with their finances or they have a problem that we can help solve, or they just need some counseling or addiction or whatever it might be. That's the focus that I have as an organization, is to work on that core program. And we kept running out of money, and the legislature took care of us and added a little bit of cash to that.
And Commissioner, you got a great partner in that. We've got a veteran in the office of the governor, Governor Tim Walz, and he's your new boss.
He's been a great supporter, and he's been right there whenever I needed him.
And you both served together when you were in the military.
We did. He was my first sergeant. I was his commander, so we know each other pretty well.
Sounds like a good team, sir.
It's a pretty good team.
Commissioner, we only got a couple of minutes left in this segment, but I understand that we're going to dedicate our third Veterans Cemetery in September.
Yes, we are. On September 21st, actually, we're having a dedication ceremony. It'll be up in Duluth. The intent for our focus there is to bring our third cemetery online. We've already had 170 burials since last Veterans Day at that site, but we were unable to do our dedication because of the winter was so long up in Duluth that we couldn't get everything in place. But now I think we got everything ready to go, and we look forward to having the governor actually up there for that event to do the dedication with us.
So here in Minnesota, we've got a beautiful veteran cemetery up in Little Falls. There was a second one opened up down in Preston. Now you've got the one that's coming up in Duluth in September, and you're working on a fourth one.
Working on the fourth one. Actually went out and talked to Undersecretary Reeves out in Washington, D.C., and tried to put together a package that will work for the federal government to bring the funding to the state so that we can, just east of Redwood Falls in Redwood County, we're going to have another cemetery. I think it's about 62 acres, and it's a beautiful piece of land on a small creek. Very, very great place for a cemetery.
So, Commissioner, the intent there is to have these state veteran cemeteries around the state so that when our veterans die, they can be buried closer to home so the family can come visit.
Yeah, I think from the federal government, they're looking at 2 hours or less from any cemetery, either federal or state. And the locations we put in Preston and Duluth and also the one in Redwood County are very strategic, not only for the state, but for the federal VA also.
Very good, sir. We're just about out of time for this segment. When we come back, I want to talk about your strategic goals going forward. We're speaking with Commissioner Larry Herkey from the Minnesota Department on Veterans Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. We're recording today from the Minnesota State Fair on Military Appreciation Day, and we've been visiting with Commissioner Larry Herkey from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And Commissioner, it's been a busy year. I'm sure it's just flashed by. Lots to learn and lots of things to do, but we want to talk now about 2020 and beyond, and I understand that you've identified four strategic goals, and first is that we recognize that Minnesota veterans include those who served in World War II and through the ongoing War on Terror today. So you've got a We've got 300 over 300,000 veterans in Minnesota from wars going back to World War II. I don't think we have any World War I guys left anymore, but and there's a lot of my Vietnam fellow veterans that are going down every day. But you've got a lot of people to take care of.
We're looking at life cycles of veterans, and especially this came apparent with the Vietnam veterans now coming up to retirement, and just the need for more outreach and again to reconnect with veterans and tell them, you know, what is it that your state has for you, especially in the area. This one, first one, focused really more on healthcare and what can we do for you, you know, for your transition as things get more difficult for you. And if it's a veteran's home, or if it's maybe it's adult daycare, or maybe it's something just connecting you with the Mission Act that you're going to hear about here with the next guest for the federal VA.
Commissioners, well, I've seen a lot of my fellow Vietnam veterans retire. And as soon as they retire, they've got time on their hands, and some of the old demons come flashing back. They start having some mental health issues, suicide issues, those type of things. That's a big priority for you, too, as well.
That's a big priority also. What I hear most common, and this sort of goes into the second item, is that people are not familiar with the benefits. And really, I see that as my job, to be able to identify what benefits might be available to them at different parts of their life, whether it's transitioning off of active duty or if it's in a situation with the Vietnam vets as they're going into their retirement age. I think I need to be that whether I provide the benefit or if I just provide the help and assistance, we need to be there to help these veterans.
And Commissioner, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs works closely with the county veteran service officers. Every county has one. And they're kind of your first line of defense.
We do. We actually train the county veteran service officers. We provide them sort of a backboard for anything that they can't handle at their level. We're always open and available to help them and assist them. And we brief them a couple times a year at their different updates that they have at their different gatherings.
So if our veterans in Minnesota need something, they can certainly call the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, but they probably should start with their county veteran service officer.
Especially if they're new into the system and they're just starting, the county veteran service officer is the first place to go.
And one of the best things they can do is take their discharge certificate, their DD-214, or their guard discharge certificate, and go get it on record, on file with the county veteran service officer, just in case they might need it sometime in the future.
Correct. That's one of the most important pieces of paper that needs to be collected by the family. And I just actually helped my father-in-law to get his documents back from the time that he was in training and so forth back in the 1960s.
And even if our veterans can't find their discharge certificate, go see their county veteran service officer. They can help you get a copy.
They can help you get it. If they can't get it, they'll elevate it to our level, and we'll help them out and make sure we get that certificate for them.
Very good, sir. We're speaking with Commissioner Larry Herkey from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio. Commissioner, we talked in the first segment that the state legislature was good to you this year. They passed the budget. They're helping you do everything they can. What are our Minnesota taxpayers need to know about? Are you being a good steward of our resources?
I think I should tell you that we are a great steward of the resources. In many cases, we bring in many more dollars than anything that we're putting out as far as the cost for our organization. We're effective. We've transitioned to using electronic records. We're employing telehealth technologies, and we're supporting the Federal Mission Act, which is an important act for all veterans here going forward.
And of course, we've got a lot of disabled veterans in the state of Minnesota, and their disability checks bring a lot of money into the economy as well.
They do. You'd be surprised. I looked at a report for one county. For every $1 that they spent on their CVSO and the office and so forth, they brought in $187. So that's a pretty good return on investment for those counties.
And the state legislature also passed the bill a year or two ago saying that we're no longer going to tax those military retirements. So maybe we can keep some of those retired military in Minnesota.
That would be great, instead of going to Arizona or Florida or somewhere else, so we can keep them here in Minnesota, keep them as productive members of society here.
Stay away from those tornadoes and hurricanes and all those
things.
Yes,
who wants to
stay home
natural
here
disasters?
And come down to Military Appreciation Day at State Fair, right,
yes,
Commissioner?
Yes.
Sir, finally, we want to talk about, there's a low unemployment rate today, and we recognize that we have to invest in our workforce. You've got a lot of great employees over there, and there's got to be some things you can do to help keep them here.
There is. We're actually working. One of those initiatives is a training center that we're setting up in Minneapolis at the Veterans Home there. We're working with local colleges and universities and bringing in people help them get real life experiences and training. And from that, we looked at hopefully bringing some of those people in and having them work for us long term. We'd love to have we have a need for over 600 and some employees just over at that one installation. So it's nice to have a flow of people coming in, and that's one way that we're reaching out to the communities to do that.
And Commissioner, we talk about the programs and services that your department takes care of, but we also have those veterans homes all over the state, and you probably couldn't operate those without all the volunteers that you get.
We have just as many volunteers as we have employees, is what I found out. In some places, it's actually more, and that's great. It's great for the veterans. It's great to have different faces come in, provide different experiences, and some of the experiences aren't even at the veterans home. They take them other locations, either in the community or possibly on a fishing trip or something like that, and that's a great way that the volunteers can interact with the veterans.
So for our listeners all over Minnesota, if you've got some time on your hands and you want to help some of your veterans, some of your family, or some of your friends, just get a hold of your local veterans home and ask them if they could use a few hours for volunteers, and I'm sure they'll welcome you with open arms.
Great. If you have any skills in crafts or you want to spend some time with veterans, we even have some, I call them rickshaws, where they have veterans that are volunteers that take veterans out and take them around in a bicycle and so forth. So they get to see a little bit of this, a little bit beyond what the window should give them in their room or in the community area within the veterans home.
A little fresh air and a nice day.
A little fresh air, that's good, yes.
Commissioner, we've got about 2 minutes left, but there's another organization that you work very closely with. It's called the Commander's Task Force.
Correct.
And it's made up of the 9 federally chartered veteran service organizations, such as the American Legion, VFW, DAV, Purple Hearts, and so
Jewish.
On.
Yep.
And you work very closely with them because they work very hard to take care of the veterans. And one of the things they work on is Veterans Day on the Hill comes up every year. And it's my understanding that they're working on some legislative initiatives for next year.
It's my understanding between now and our time together at Camp Ripley here this fall, we're going to be working on initiatives that we're going to come together and come to consensus as a group and decide what are the focus areas are going to be for this next legislative season.
Commissioner, we've got just about a minute left. I want to talk about there's a thing you can buy in Minnesota for your car. It's called a Support Our Troops license plate. Can you tell us about that program?
Support Our Troops can help both veterans and active military people. The money for that gets split 50-50 between the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and Military Affairs. And those funds actually go out as either grants or money to families, one of the two. And I can tell you that there's been great impact in with those programs. A lot of those are sort of cutting-edge things that we're trying with veterans. And we'd like to see a little more support in that area. We think there's more things we can do. We're just asking people to consider that if you're coming up and getting your new license renewed, to consider having a Support Our Troops license plate.
So for our listeners out there, if you want to help support veterans programs, when your license comes up for renewal, please buy a Support Our Troops license plate. Commissioner, we're at about the end of the second segment. We've got a special guest coming up on the third, the Deputy Undersecretary for Health, VA Healthcare, Dr. Jennifer McDonald. Have you got time to stick around and talk
to
us there?
I do. She is a former Red Bull, and I'm here to spend a little more time with her and hopefully we'll get some great words from the federal side.
Very good. Thank you, Commissioner. This is Minnesota Military Radio, live from Military Appreciation Day at the Minnesota State Fair. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We're recording live today from the Minnesota State Fair on Military Appreciation Day, and we've been talking about programs and services and homes from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and my co-host has been Commissioner Larry Herkey. And Commissioner, at this point in the show, we usually have a Commissioner's Corner because you join us every week, not every month. But since we've got you in person today, I think we'll forego that. But I'd ask you, we've got a very important guest joining us now. Would you like to introduce her?
We do. I got a chance to meet her at the national conference here just a couple weeks ago, and today she's in person with us at the fair, and I'm pleased to welcome Dr. Jennifer McDonald. She's a practicing family physician and U.S. Army veteran. She spent 11 years in the Minnesota Army National Guard and deployed in support of Iraqi freedom, earning the Bronze Star for a high-profile mission. She is a Red Bull. Always a Red Bull. Once
go
a Red Bull.
Bulls.
Yes. She also graduated from the medical school at the University of Minnesota, and we'd like to welcome her here today to the State Fair.
Thank you so much, Commissioner. I'm happy to be home.
Dr. McDonald, thanks for joining us. I'd like to dig into that. Member of the Red Bulls.
Yes,
and
indeed.
And whenever he brings it up, you're smiling.
Absolutely. I'm proud, sir.
And I understand you even deployed with my military producer, Sergeant First Class Johnny Angelo.
It's great to see a friend.
Well, it's good she went deployed, and he's still a friend. That's even better. So, Doctor, can you tell us, Deputy Undersecretary for Health, VA Healthcare, what does that mean, and what type of position is that? Is that at a regional or is that national?
That is at a national level, and I am supporting the Principal Deputy Undersecretary for Health, and that means I'm focused on the head of the health system's priorities, the executive in charge priorities, and the Principal Deputy's priorities for VA, and that is opening up access to care for veterans and making sure that this system is strong into the coming decades and that we continue to serve with excellence here in Minnesota and beyond.
So you're working closely with Commissioner Herkey and I would guess with Director Pat Kelly at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system.
They are fantastic partners. We're grateful for their dedication to veterans in Minnesota.
They've got their fingers in everything and they're taking good care of the veterans. We try to tell their stories almost every week.
Yes, indeed.
And we're thrilled to have you here nice to have one of our own Minnesota former Red Bulls in a nice spot like you're in now to take care of our veterans.
Well, thank you. I've been listening for a long time, so it's sure an honor to be on the show today.
Well, I thank you for coming to join us. We want to talk a little bit today about the Mission Act. It's been in the news. I've been talking to Director Kelly about it off and on for a few months. Can you tell us what it is and what this current status is?
Absolutely. The Mission Act is really a landmark law, one of the most sweeping changes that has been passed regarding VA since about the time of World War II. And what it is at its essence is this is VA getting stronger to serve veterans in the future. This enables us to open up access and partner more strongly with community providers, community facilities, and we can have a partnership with them that helps veterans get access to care here in Minnesota and across the country. It also brings in more telehealth, helps us meet veterans where they are, and helps us recruit and keep providers, top tier, best of the best providers in VA to keep serving people with the excellence they deserve.
And Doctor, here in Minneapolis, here in Minnesota, we're lucky we've got one of the best VAs in the country. And I'm a patient there, and I think I get just routine care like everybody else, but it's been great. I haven't met a single person in the last decade that isn't really fabulous out there. So we're lucky we've got one of the top VAs in the country. There are veterans that live a long way from the VA, perhaps from Minneapolis or from one of the CBOCs, one of the outpatient clinics. And so the Mission Care Act is trying to help those that can't travel easily to get their care.
Exactly. It brings care closer to home and in veterans' communities when that's the right answer for them, both through community providers and then, as I mentioned, we are also expanding telehealth and bringing care to meet you in your living room, if that's your preference, or partnering with Walmart and partnering with others to make sure that we are putting telehealth as close to home as we can in communities so that veterans have options right where they live and that they can come to us and drive to the VA when they choose, but we'll also meet you in your living room if that's the right answer for you and if that's easier.
Well, and as a patient out there, it's nice to be able to go online, order your prescriptions, go online, send a message to your doctor. They write back to you within a day or so. The medicines are delivered to your home, and I understand now they've got some teleconferencing that they can do as well. If you need to talk to your doctor and you can't leave your home, they can hook you up with that as well.
That's right. And like you said about the Minneapolis VA, they're leading the way. I'm so glad you're choosing VA for your care. And that's exactly what they're expanding into. We're aiming to make this easy for people, a delight of an experience.
We're speaking with Commissioner Larry Herkey and Dr. Jennifer McDonald on Minnesota Military Radio. And we've been talking about all the programs and services and the homes that the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs takes care of. But also, as you know, you've heard the show once in a while. We have doctors from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare on the show at least once a month. Director Kelly comes on every 4 weeks. I tease him about wearing a hard hat all the time because there's always a project to improve the VA. But we're blessed with having one of the best VA medical centers and best healthcare systems in the country. That's got to make you feel really good coming from Minnesota.
It sure does. Minnesota's leading the way in a lot of respects, and I love that. It's great to be home here today and see it in person.
Now, you mentioned partnerships with Walmart and T-Mobile. Can you tell us what that's about?
Yes, Walmart, T-Mobile, others. VA is really expanding into an era of partnerships and really aiming to lead the country on behalf of veterans in the way that we bring care and services, not just through what we offer directly, but what our partners can offer. And that's part of expanding into communities, bringing telehealth closer to home. But that's also true with the community providers who are participating with us in the Mission Act. Those who are serving veterans in their home communities, we want to make sure that whatever is the right balance for any given veteran to choose for their care and services, that we're partnering with states, partnering with you, Commissioner, partnering with our private sector partners, Walmart, T-Mobile, others, to make sure that we are really delivering that full range of care and services and that people have the highest degree of options that VA can convene everyone to bring to them.
Doctor, one of the other things that I think is timely to talk about is over the course of the last decade or two, more and more women are serving in the military, serving in the Guard, in the Reserves, active duty. You served yourself. Director Kelly tells me that they've expanded and remodeled the women's clinic out at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center, and it's better than it's ever been in history. How important is this to our women veterans that they feel comfortable when they go out to the medical center?
It's critically important, and I'm proud to see Minnesota leading the way in that way. We are seeing more women veterans choose VA, and there's an effort from the highest levels of leadership to make sure that we are delivering care equitably to everyone who comes through our doors or who we see through video telehealth. But delivering that care equitably, it's critically important to us that we take care of every veteran and honor the service that they've given.
And Commissioner, you and I talked about volunteers at the homes. Director Kelly tells me he's got about 1,000 volunteers out at the VA Medical Center. And Doctor, he also tells me that if a woman veteran's coming out for an appointment and they feel the least bit nervous, he'll have a woman volunteer meet her at the door and walk her right directly to her appointment and make sure that they're taking good care of them. They'll do anything except deliver a baby out there.
Now that is customer service. That's the way we lead the future of U.S. healthcare. That's fantastic.
What are your goals? What are some things you're working on coming up in the future? We've got about 2 minutes left.
So we are growing in a number of ways. This is part of the Mission Act, but it's also just part of the way that VA is modernizing to serve veterans in the future. And one of the things we're doing is really focusing on meeting veterans where they are. We talked about telehealth, but that's also in making sure that we're as efficient and open and collaborative with our partners and in the way that we provide appointments that we can be. We've actually done more than 1 million more appointments this year over last. That's a pretty significant accomplishment, we think, in healthcare. We've got now studies coming out of the Journal of the American Academy of Medicine and from Dartmouth saying that we have the highest quality and excellent access in almost every market. And we're aiming to improve on those. So goals are to continue to lead with excellence in U.S. healthcare in Minnesota and across the country.
And Commissioner, we only got about a minute left, but we can't let this go without giving some kudos to the DAV of Minnesota. They've got 37 fans in place now that are available to take our veterans to their medical appointments, and they use volunteer drivers from all over the state. So if any of our listeners are interested in volunteering for that, just go to davmn.org and sign up. Great partner, part of your commander's task force. We've got some really good organizations here in Minnesota.
Yeah, I think the ability for us to get people to the VA centers used to be very difficult, and now it's got almost routine. There is the transportation needed available, and the DAV does a great job in doing that. I was going to mention, too, Tom, I've actually done 2 telehealth sessions, so it does work.
very good, Commissioner. Doctor, Commissioner, we're about out of time. Dr. McDonald, thanks for joining us, and I wish you all the best in taking care of our veterans. Commissioner, it's been great having you on. When we come back, we're going to talk to USAA and Wells Fargo about some things they're doing on Military Appreciation Day, Minnesota State Fair. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. We're recording today from the Minnesota State Fair on Military Appreciation Day. And our guests now are coming from USAA and Mike Evans. Every year, this is kind of a date. You come back and see Minnesota Military Radio at the fair.
Yeah, Tom, it's our 7th year as presenting sponsor of Military Appreciation Day at the State Fair. And we're just honored to be here and show our appreciation for military members, veterans, and their families.
So, Mike, for our listeners out there that might not have experienced Military Appreciation Day at the fair, Tell us about it. What's it all about, and how come USAA is involved in it?
Well, you know, at USAA, our mission is to serve military members, veterans, and their families, and this just gives us a once-a-year opportunity to show our appreciation for what they've done and what their families have done, and we're just truly honored to be here.
And today the focus is on military families, and it couldn't be more timely because the deployments, the cycle of deployments is up. It's been up for years, and we just got 700 members of the 34th Infantry Division Red Bulls back from Kuwait. We've got the 34th ECAB getting ready to go out. We had some 1st Brigade Combat Team down in Fort Hood for a month training. It just seems like it's endless. It's on and on and on. And while those service members are out serving, their families are sacrificing.
Yeah, Tom, and it hasn't slowed down much, and the families are impacted by those deployments, and showing our appreciation for military members and their families is you know, top of the list for us. So that's why we're here.
Now, you brought along a special guest today. You want to introduce him?
I did. I brought Chuck Bunch, Air Force retiree, and he's our Military Affairs Relationship Director from San Antonio, and he's got his winter jacket on. So,
San Antonio.
That's it.
Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tom.
Always nice to have a fellow Air Force veteran on
the show.
I'm usually surrounded by these soldiers, you know, and it's just they rub off on you. But can you tell us you're the Military Affairs Relationship Director for USAA. What does that job entail?
Well, it's my privilege to continue my service. I think as we've all shared, we're built to serve. That's part of being from the military community. So my responsibilities with USAA is veteran engagement and military transition as they make that reacclimation, their families, back into civilian society. Similar to what we're seeing here at Military Appreciation Day here in Minnesota, I get to do that nationally.
Mike, it's great to see all these veterans and all these service members out here on Military Appreciation Day. It's kind of a fun day at the fair, isn't it?
It's a fabulous day, and the weather cooperated this year, you know, great temps, and yeah, just a beautiful day out here.
Chuck, I understand you served 20 years in the Air Force, so you had to transition yourself from
Yes.
military to civilian. How tough was that?
Well, I was very fortunate that I think a lot of things are built on relationships, like you're seeing here, like I'm seeing here today, that I was able to build those relationships and get insight and guidance from great mentors in the community. And so I would say my transition was fairly seamless, but I still had to have that mentorship as I landed my first career opportunity, because that first year was an adjustment because the structure was a little bit different, the tempo was a little bit different than I was accustomed to. So I made sure that I surrounded myself with great mentorship, great role models out in the community that I could learn from and not isolate myself. I think there's a common denominator for a lot of situations, and we can be resourceful as service members that we need to make sure that we feel comfortable reaching out and asking for help. Don't be ashamed and prideful.
Chuck, Mike's been telling me for years that USAA caters to our veterans, and most of your customers are veterans, and you
Yes.
take good care of them in many different ways, but you must have felt fortunate to have an opportunity to join an organization like USAA.
What a blessing. I mean, as Mike mentioned, it's an honor and it's a privilege to continue that service. As we mentioned, we're built to serve. We know what it means to serve. Our values, honesty, integrity, loyalty, and service, it exemplifies what we see in our military services. And it's a tremendous privilege.
So in your present position, you get the opportunity to help help those service members transition from military to civilian like you went through.
Yes. And we give them opportunities to link up, whether I go out in the community or on national incentives or initiatives, rather, and team up with and collaborate with other companies, because USAA can't do it alone. But collectively, we're strength in numbers.
Mike, just another example of how USAA goes above and beyond just the insurance business and some of those things to help your policyholders, your customers.
Yeah, and Tom, that's our goal each and every time we interact with our prospects and members, is just top-notch service and reach them where they are.
Well, gentlemen, on behalf of all the military in Minnesota and Minnesota Military Radio, I'd like to thank you both for continuing your sponsorship of Military Appreciation Day at the Minnesota State Fair. And, Mike, I got a feeling I'm going to see you, if not before, sometime next year.
You bet, Tom. We plan to be here and looking forward to it.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Tom, thank you.
This is Mike Evans and Chuck Brunch from USAA. On August 27th, during the Minnesota State Fair Military Appreciation Day, Wells Fargo and Walzer Automotive Group are co-sponsoring a payment-free vehicle donation to the Minnesota veteran through the Military Warriors Support Foundation Transportation for Heroes program. And joining us today to talk about that is Eric Halverson, head of Wells Fargo's auto customer team and team member, David Doherty from the Military Warrior Support Foundation, and Sherry Schultz, Chief Human Resources Officer for Walzer Automotive Group. And Eric, I want to talk to you first from Wells Fargo. Can you tell us what this program is about and how long it's been going?
I'm happy to. Thanks for having us on the show today, Tom. Our program has been running since 2012. We're in conjunction with Military Warrior Support Foundation. We've donated over 390 homes worth over $60 million and now 25 cars to deserving veterans and their Gold Star spouses. So it's a big piece of our giving back to the community, connecting with veterans, and really providing financial education in addition to the donations of the vehicles and homes. We really want to make sure that those transitions for our vets are as seamless as possible, and we're doing everything we can to help them out.
So those numbers are across the country?
That's correct, yeah. And actually nine homes here in Minnesota, and this is our second year at the Minnesota State Fair.
And you said you've partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation, and that's what that's where David is from. David, you served in the military a couple of branches?
I'm a retired Sergeant Major from the Army, but I retired on an Air Force base, so it works out.
We'll have a whole show on that sometime. Yeah. We'll try to figure out how that worked.
I can explain it.
But tell us about the Military Warrior Support Foundation.
We're honored to be here today with Wells Fargo and Walzer. Today we're going to honor a hero from Minnesota. This is our 13th presentation in Minnesota. We're very excited about it. This is going to help this young veteran and his family, as well as help him as a veteran small business owner. So it's amazing to be here, and I'm very excited to present this gift to carry him forward.
What are the eligibility requirements for who is eligible?
Our foundation focuses on combat wounded veterans with a Purple Heart and Gold Star families. So to date, we've provided over 850 mortgage-free homes with our 3 years of family and financial mentorship. And we have four or five other programs, and over 6,000 veterans and Gold Star families have been helped since our foundation was started by General Sisco.
So this afternoon, we're going to introduce this veteran. We're not going to name him today.
Yeah, yes.
And this is a wounded, disabled veteran that meets all your eligibility requirements, and he's from here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And he is a Marine, so that's three of the four. So he's a Marine veteran. So we got an Air Force guy, an Army guy, a Marine vet. Got a Navy, got a spouse, so we got them all together today.
All we need is a Coastie, and we've got them covered, don't we?
Yeah, any Coast Guardsmen or women out there? We need just
there's,
one.
There's probably some Coasties in the audience. They're sneaky, but they're around, and they
yes,
do a
sir.
Good job. And
that's right.
They say they teach the Navy how to what they're doing and where to go.
So we'll take all the help we can get.
Yes, sir.
All right. Sherry, we've had some fun with these guys, but you're the business end of this. You're the Human Resources Officer for Walzer Auto Group. How did Walzer get involved in this?
Well, as a matter of fact, doing the right thing in the community is a big part of what we do. So we donate 5% of our revenue annually to support a lot of initiatives. Military Warrior Support Foundation is one of them. Our approach for decades has been to support workforce development and education, and this couldn't be a better pair. So it's priceless for us to be able to work with Wells Fargo and Military Warrior Support Foundation to present the new 2019 Nissan Rogue to our very deserving Minnesota veterans. So we couldn't be any more excited.
Yeah, we saw that vehicle over on the other side of the bridge over here this morning. It looks like a beautiful vehicle, a little SUV.
Yeah, little SUV, nice navy color.
Navy color.
Go Navy.
So, and it's equipped so that it's drivable for the veteran that's going to receive it.
Absolutely, and the support of his family is tremendous. His kids are here in force. They're looking forward to going back to school, so we're excited to see them hop in the back of that car as well and get ready to support their dad.
So if our listeners and the people in the audience here want to see this presentation, that's going to be this afternoon at
2 o'clock.
2 o'clock on the Dan Patch stage, which is just across from us here. And they'll get to meet this hero that's going to be the recipient of this award. Anything else you'd like to add?
No, absolutely. Just really excited to be involved with the Minnesota community, and couldn't be more excited to support those who have served us. So thank you, Wells. Thank you, Military Support Foundation, and we look forward to this afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Eric, you're going to have a good afternoon again.
I think we're going to have a great afternoon, and I just want to say thank you to Sherry and the Walzer organization again for partnering with us on this donation. It really really makes a difference when we've got a great partner like Walzer.
For Walzer Auto Group. All right, and Sergeant Major, thanks for joining us today. You
my honor to
admirably.
Be here. Yeah, my honor to be here, and thank you all you veterans for everything you do for our country. It's amazing.
Yep.
So this afternoon at 2 o'clock, you can see that presentation. Eric, Wells Fargo, Military Warrior Support Foundation, and Walser Auto Group, thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having us.
We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Dr. Jennifer McDonald, Chuck Banch, and Mike Evans from USAA, our friends from Wells Fargo, the Military Support Foundation, and Walser Auto Group, Commissioner Larry Herkey of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week for another show from the Minnesota State Fair on Military Appreciation Day with the Minnesota National Guard. That's coming up next on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.